Hey, everybody. Welcome to It's Just Bodybuilding, episode 26. I'm here with Dusty Hanshaw, of course, myself, Big Ron Partlow. And on today's episode, you know, we like to bring on the young bloods, the next generation. We got Nick Walker on It's Just Bodybuilding. Dusty, we're back.
We are back. I got 100% charge. I have two count 'em wires in case I need to charge more.
Got a backup crew, a pit crew, and the beard is already back in 1 week. That's a beard. That's not just growth or unshaven. That qualifies as a beard again. Took you 1 week.
That's all it takes. I mean, you know, like Homer Simpson when he shaves, poof.
Same you probably thing. Trimmed it. You probably trimmed it already, didn't you?
I had to, and then I cut myself right here, and I'm like, it looks like a beauty mark. And my friend's like, there's nothing beautiful about you. That's just a fucking cut.
You're like Cindy Crawford.
That's what I said.
You're the Cindy Crawford of bodybuilding.
He goes, oh, it's like Enrique. I go, I was thinking more Cindy Crawford, dick.
There's a bunch of young guys out there Googling Cindy Crawford.
Yeah, exactly. Grab your lotion, kids.
We were there. You're going to need lotion. Yes. Those are the days. Those are the days.
Absolutely. Jergens for nothing.
I get excited. I'm excited about this guest because, you know, he's an amazing bodybuilder, first of all, but I see like crazy stuff in his future.
Plus, he's a freak in the gym. He's strong. He's not one of these. Like, he's genetically freaky, but he also puts in the work. I get so bored when I watch dudes. I'm like, oh, I want to, like, call their parents and be like, good job. You made a fucking specimen.
Yeah, he's a hard worker. So let's get him on. I know he's already, you know, a lot of people already know Nick. You know, the people that are really in the know who he is. But I'm hoping that we can get to know him, you know, get to know him. Because I haven't actually met Nick yet, and you've met him.
Yes.
Yeah, I just talked to him on Instagram and stuff. So let's bring Nick Walker on.
So you're like a fan, more or less.
Yeah, I'm basically a fan. How's it going, Nick? Welcome to It's Just Bodybuilding.
Thank you for having me.
Yes. We know you watch the show and you've seen several episodes and you're familiar with what idiots you're dealing with at this point.
Yeah, so. Idiots like me, so it sounds all good.
That's right. Dumb meatheads, let's do this.
Dumb meatheads, what could possibly go wrong?
Exactly.
Yeah, so tell everybody, where are you exactly?
Where I live. I live in Jersey right now.
Okay, so you're calling in from Jersey, so you're on Eastern time.
Yeah, that's... So when you told me 10:30, I didn't read the PST part. So I'm sitting by my computer at 10:30, and I'm like, "Oh, fucked up."
I think any bodybuilder said those words to himself. Dusty, so maybe a few hundred times
it.
More.
I was like, I had to go back and read it. And I was like, "Oh, Pacific Standard Time."
Yeah, you got time to do some shit.
You had hours to do some shit.
Yeah, get a workout and a meal.
Took a nice nap. I feel good now.
Oh, okay. We're getting the best of you then. Because you're getting the worst of us. Just so you know.
I only have one level. It's all the worst. I don't even get their fucking hopes up. Call me in the afternoon. I ain't gonna
help. Yeah. Oh, man. We're happy to have you. I mean, you know, Dusty and I were saying, you know, obviously, like, you're one of the guys that stands out as just, like, the kind of, what the fuck is going on with this dude? Like, you're one of the guys that jumps out. And I remember when I first found you on Instagram, I was like, whoa, wait a minute. And then I was like, I got to do some reading. What's going on with this guy? So just give everyone kind of an intro. Like, how did you get into training and stuff?
Yeah, well, when I was younger, I used to play a lot of sports. I played football, baseball, soccer. Baseball, believe it or not, was my main sport. But I was always into fitness no matter what. Like, I was always working out even at 12, 13 years old. But then, you know, after I graduated, once I got into high school, I played baseball so much that I kind of just burnt myself out. And I saw, like, when I was in the gym, I could see the results were coming. So then that took over basically my life as when I was like, when I got into high school at like 15 years old. And I honestly didn't have any type of intentions on competing, honestly. But everyone saw how young I was and how quick I was growing. I was like, you should probably step on stage. You know? So I did my first show at 17 years old after I graduated high school. And I did horrible. But I learned from that. And I came back the following year in 2013. So my first show, okay, so I graduated high school at 230 pounds. And I competed at 159 pounds. Yeah, whoa. I bombed that show.
That's not what I was thinking you were going to say. I was going to say I competed at 228.
Yeah.
I completely fucked that up. So then I came back the next year, 2013, where I won both teen overalls and placed third in the light heavyweight shows that I did. I weighed in at 198. And then the following year, in 2014, I did teen nationals against Cody Montgomery, where I placed second behind him at 210 pounds. I did not compete in 2016, I did a qualifier show, so I didn't compete in 2015, where I weighed, I think I was about 210, about the same, and I won the whole show there. And at the time, I was working with Jeff Long, and I remember he came to me and says, you know we're going to suck you down to light heavy, right? I said, okay, whatever. So I went into USA's as a light heavyweight. And I placed top six in my first national show, which was cool. That was a point for me where I knew I belonged there.
Right.
I just turned 21. So I was like, this is where I belong. Mm-hmm. So then in 2017, I did North Americans, and I got sixth there again. And then that same year, at the end of the year, I did nationals, and I got sixth. 2018, I didn't compete. And then 2019, I did USA's as a super and got second.
What did you weigh at the USA's? I mean,
I weighed in at 240.
Bam. That's a pretty rapid rise, Dusty, from 159 to 240.
Yeah, but your 240 is not, you know, that's the one thing. And we talk about this all the time. Like, I think if you took 10 guys who knew bodybuilding and saw you on stage and said, he's a super, what's he weigh? No one's guessing 240. Everyone's going up.
Yeah.
Because you look bigger. You are bigger. I mean, you must have fucking bird bones. Like,
yeah.
Like, because if somebody said to me, oh, that's Nick Walker, he's 260. When I was at the USA's, I'd be like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, I thought like, you were I wouldn't actually blink. 260-ish, yeah.
You know?
That's funny because I felt really small too.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then you saw the pictures. We're like, oh, nope, I'm definitely not fucking small.
I love these.
What's Nick Walker's support system like? I mean, we talk on this show about how bodybuilding, you know, it's an individual venture, but,
yeah.
You know, we all have some kind of system around us, even if that's nobody at all, right? Maybe that's right. The best way to do it, like monk style. How do you do it?
Believe it or not, I probably have one of the best support systems there is in terms of family. My family is very invested. They absolutely love it. They support it 100%. When I look at them and I'd say it's day one of prep, my mom's like, fuck yeah, let's go. It's game time. She's completely invested. She takes all my photos in the morning for me. She critiques all my posing. If I look like shit, she thinks she's a judge now. So it's pretty cool.
Well, she's been judging you for 25 years.
That's very true.
Yeah.
My dad, who also used to compete, he loves it.
Yeah,
he did a few shows when he was younger. So, you know, it's like he gets to live this through me a little bit. So he loves it a lot.
He contributed some of your genes or?
Oh, I got genes from both angles. My mom's got big legs, big calves. My dad don't got that. He's got little ass legs. My dad's got the bigger upper body. I got that from him. So I got the combo of everything.
I got the same one. I got the bad genetics from both of my parents. I fucked on that deal. Anyway.
Yeah. Okay.
But my brother as well, like he works out. He loves the lifestyle, but he's very supportive. He wants to just see me do the best I can. And, of course, my best friend Kyle, who I train with, we used to train every day together, but he lived so far that when I was in prep for USA, it just became very tolling on the body. So we both agree like it was best I just train near me instead of driving an hour and a half every day. But we're about to start getting back into training more and more. He actually came with me to USA's as well.
Yeah.
And of course my coach, you know, Matt Jansen, he's very, very supportive. Made him talk every day. So
you've gone down to train with Matt a bunch of times too, haven't you?
Yeah, twice.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, and what's it like when you go hang out with Matt for a few days? Is it all bodybuilding? You're just kind of training in the gym and then the rest of the time you're just trying to have fun and.
Yeah. Like, honestly, like if he invited me down just to hang out, I would go whether we trained or not. It's just cool just to hang out, you know?
Yeah.
Of course, obviously the primary goal, we're going to go there and train and set PRs and this and that. But outside of that, just seeing how he is with his family and everything, it's really cool. He's a very family-oriented guy, and just hanging out with his kids, that's fun for me. So,
right, right. What about you know? Obviously, you're very focused on turning pro, right? Is that goal number one?
Yeah.
And how does that look when you lay that out on the calendar?
Oh, what do you mean?
Like, what's the next show? Are you like, what are you hitting?
Oh, I'm doing North American.
Okay, so that's a fall show.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you're going to keep pushing up? Because you're like at max body weight right now, aren't you?
Yeah, I was 290 this morning.
Oh, damn, okay.
That's not max. He was 292 a week and a half ago.
Yeah. There you go.
Go eat something real quick. We'll wait.
Yeah. We want you at your heaviest by the end of the show.
I don't want you on this interview at 290. If you at least 293. Like
put down a large milkshake. Something that weighs
you give me a couple Five Guys burgers, I'll probably be 300 by the end of the day.
Yeah.
There we go. Now we're talking.
Yeah. What about the Five Guys burgers? We also talk on this show. I mean, you seem to watch the show. You've messaged me about a couple episodes. So, you know, we always get the guys that you know, they're like, I'm eating lots, I'm not growing, you know, all those, right? So
and
I mean,
you're not eating that fucking much.
Yeah, and I've talked about what I went through when I was like way over 300 and what I had to eat and stuff. Yeah. So I mean, you know, at your height, carrying around 290, you're what are you, 5'8"?
A little under 5'8".
A little under 5'8". Okay, so you know, carrying around 290, you know, how many times a week are there Five Guys burgers involved?
Honestly, I normally don't cheat.
Oh, okay. Okay.
I'm not big on cheating. I feel like because my body, it goes from one extreme to the next. Once I start to feed it, I'll pack on the weight like it's nothing.
Oh, okay.
Once I start dieting, I probably have to eat more at a certain point because then I'll start losing too much. But
right.
When I do go to Five Guys, I like to get three triples with bacon, a hot dog, and a large fry.
The hot dog is when now. How do you eat these in order? Is it like three burgers and a hot dog, or how does this work?
I always nitpick the fries. I always nitpick at the fries first, and then I'll have a burger. And I might take a bite of the hot dog. Have another burger.
this matters. This tells me a lot about somebody.
Yeah. You like to take your time and sample the food.
I do.
And
eat,
so
if you eat too fast, you get too full. You won't be able to finish. You got to take your time.
If you get three triples and a hot dog and a fries, I mean, you must be pushing like 8,000 calories in that meal.
Yeah, if that's my cheat day, honestly, I'll probably take a meal out because I won't need to eat again after that. I'm pretty much good to go.
Do you have a Diet Coke with that, or what do you drink?
Yeah, you got to. You go full sugar Sprite. Just full sugar Sprite all the way.
Yeah, at that point, you might as well. No Fuck diet, it. Just have the soda.
I gotta stop. I'm just gonna get a water.
I do drink water.
I like how this is an example of bodybuilder mentality, right? He's like, I don't cheat. I mean, I only go to Five Guys like once a week, maybe, right?
But when he
goes to Five Guys once, he gets the calories that I would get from three visits.
If I'm gonna cheat, I'm gonna enjoy that shit.
It's like three days worth of calories for my diet.
Exactly.
There's nothing extreme about us at all, is there, Nick?
Like I said, it's one extreme to the next. That's it.
All right. So here's the deal. Before your prep, on your YouTube, there will be a trip to Five Guys. People need to know. They need to see this.
I want to see it.
You want to? Okay.
Yeah, going up.
Before I start prep, I'll do it.
All right. Now, but I want like a little like credit. Like this idea brought to you by It's Just Bodybuilding. And I want to make sure that the video guy absorbs that the fries are eaten, peppered through, the occasional bite of the hot dog.
Right. You don't want to edit it too quick, right? You want people to get the moment.
I want to feel like I watched you eat this.
That is entertainment, isn't it? People like that shit.
Dude, fuck, are you kidding me? Ron knows. I could do it. You could do a video deadlifting 900 pounds, and people love it. And then you do it again, and people are like, ah, I've seen you do that. You eat Five Guys three times, they watch every fucking episode. He's eating the burgers again.
People, the videos that I like knowing that people watch all this stuff. Like Dusty did one where he goes to Costco. It's got like 20,000 views.
I watched it.
I've been to Costco three times, and that sucker just keeps rolling. I'm like, yeah. Y'all want to watch me shop again? Let's fucking do this.
Yeah, everyone's curious, what does a bodybuilder eat?
Yeah.
You could watch me shop while Nick Walker is pushing the cart and eating Five Guys. Take this to a new fucking level.
That video will get a million hits, man.
Oh, that's key. One thing I wanted to bring up was, everyone knows I'm like the old guy. Dusty's like, he's getting there.
Dusty's getting there. He's still pushing heavy.
Quickly getting there.
Yeah, he's getting there. He's I got some years on him. But now with you, you're a bodybuilder who started what, 2012?
Yeah, serious.
So 100% of your bodybuilding experience has been in the social media era. Because I sort of consider for bodybuilding, 2012 a real marker because that's when Instagram came in.
That's when it really started.
Yeah. And that was, of course, the first thing that happened was the Rich Piana phenomenon. That was like the first big explosion. And then it led to like all these other sort of cascading, Instagram just got massive. But your entire bodybuilding experience has been in this era. It's good for we like you because you're still super hardcore, right? We feel like the Instagram era sort of brought in a lot of like hobby and recreational people who didn't really want to get too big, a lot of that.
Right.
What do you think it was that made you want to be a fucking freak? Like, what's the key for that?
I always wanted to be a freak. I never wanted to be like everyone else. I never wanted to be mainstream. I wanted to stand out amongst the crowd. Nothing against mainstream guys, but like there's too many of them. They all look alike. You throw me in the mix, I stand out 100%. That was always my mindset.
Were you into like superheroes and stuff like that? I mean, I could kind of see my route.
My favorite superhero was always Batman.
Right.
Because I always liked Batman because he was badass, but he never had an actual superpower.
Right.
He was just badass. And that's what I liked.
Yeah.
That makes sense to me. Yeah. I like that. He had a, like, there was a solid, you were 10 at some point. You're like, you know what? His only superpower is a rich motherfucker. Okay.
Exactly.
I want to be that and a badass. Let's do it.
Well, you got to have money to be both Batman and a bodybuilder.
Yeah, no
Very
shit.
True. Very true.
Dusty, go ahead, Dusty.
So we have, I wanted to hit you with a variety of questions, but there's one that I don't know. I don't even know what this means, but Big John Ward asked, what's up with the pics on the couch covers? And I don't know what that means.
Is he referring to the blanket of my brother and his wife?
That's gotta be it.
Next to my pictures I take in the morning.
There it is. Okay. I read that and I was like, this is a story. I need
and
this.
And because it's from John, so you know that it's going to be worth reading, right?
Yes, exactly. I don't have an answer. I mean, that blanket just sits there, and that's where my pictures are.
Scott, we're going to need that blanket to be edited in.
I remember the first time I posted a progress picture with that blanket in there. No one cared about the way I looked. They were like, what's up with that blanket?
That's awesome.
I was like, oh, shit, I didn't even notice the blanket.
What I like, though, is that at that point, you did like I would do. You were like, well, then the fucking blanket stays.
Yeah.
In the closet. He's getting ready to take his picture. Like, one sec, Ma. He goes and grabs it. Exactly.
Because if you get rid of it, they're going to be like, where'd the blanket go?
It sort of reminds me.
You just got to leave it at this point.
It sort of reminds me of years ago when Seth Ferrosi was still competing. And he would post pictures and there would be toys all over the floor around his feet. And everyone would be like, what's with all the toys? He's like, I got kids, bro. Like,
I'm cleaning that shit up right now.
We clean them up every night, but the next day they're right back out again, you know? So I just take my pictures of Funks and Sia toys.
That's funny.
Everybody's got their thing. I had my tissue guy, Dom, I do his nutrition. He's getting ready for a show, and I was like, hey, dude, could you get rid of the bongs? Like, I can't post this. I mean, they're fucking just everywhere. I'm like, you have a 4-foot bong behind you.
It's a centerpiece. It ties the room together.
He's like, it's a vase. It's not a vase.
It's a vase with a hose on it.
Or you add the water. No, it is not.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. Oh, man.
Hey, what's up, guys? Scott McNally here, and I want to break into this episode of It's Just Bodybuilding with Ron and Dusty and Nick Walker just to shout out our great sponsor, True Nutrition, and to highlight one product that I use on a regular basis, and that is their bulk powder EAA. It's basically unflavored, but I'm going to tell you right now, you're not going to find a better deal on a high-quality EAA product like this. And believe me, guys, this blows branched-chain amino acids out of the water. This is all the building blocks that you need to grow muscle. You can mix this in with anything, something that's got a flavor, ideally, and use it intra-workout, pre-workout, post-workout, anytime that you need to get some amino acids to your muscle. So definitely check that out. You get 50 servings for about like $25-$26. And one more note, use our code ADVICES to get some additional savings and to help to support the network. All right, guys, let's get back to the show.
I got a bunch of questions. I put a graphic up of you last night on Instagram. I don't know if you saw that. And I got, you know, a bunch of questions, and there's several that are very, very close to being the same. So, they all ask, what's the number one thing you think you've learned from working with Matt Jansen?
There's a lot of things I've learned. If I could pick one, I think one of the main ones for me is don't change your exercises so frequently. Stick to the same routine and progress as much as you possibly can.
Sound familiar, Dusty?
It's a regular on the show, because that's something, I mean, and you know, because you do online clients too.
Yeah, it works.
It's a thing that people always, hey, I've been doing this routine for 3 weeks now. And mind you, it's two routines or even three routines. I'm like, yeah, so you go back to week one.
Yeah,
I give you three workouts. I only do two myself. Exactly. I would give you, but people, I think it's between, what all the bullshit with like the Weider magazines and stuff, the muscle confusion.
I don't believe in that.
Fuck no.
I really don't think it. Like, my whole thing is, even if, say, for me, I'm a big fan of incline barbell. That's my favorite exercise. My goal before I start prep is to hit 495 for 5 reps. That's always been my goal. But say you hit a plateau,
mm-hmm.
Maybe at that point, if you want to switch it to another exercise for a couple of weeks, I don't see an issue. Or you just lower the weight and higher the reps to help break the plateau.
Yep.
And then go back, to pushing heavy weight. You don't need to always change if it's not needed.
Yeah.
If you're still progressing, don't stop.
Well, how do you gauge progression if you're changing it all the time?
That's what I'm saying. You can't.
Because I get that with people. They're like, my workouts are really good. And I'm like, what does that mean? That's a vague.
Yeah.
Like, whereas, to me, it's really simple. Like, I think it confuses the muscle when you add more weight and do it for the same reps.
Yeah.
Fuck, that confused me. That was heavy.
Even with me, like, being, post competitive and, retired from competing and all that stuff, I still have certain exercises that I make sure I start with every 2 or 3 weeks.
Yeah.
To marker where my strength is. You know what I mean? And then the next workout, I might do something different to mix it up, have some fun in the gym. But then I come back that next week and I start with hack squats again and make sure I know where I am. So it's like that needing to know where my strength is and relative to how I look is still something that I think is super important for even holding the look I want to hold now.
Absolutely.
So yeah, people need to have those in their head. And, I know some people, they say, I don't write them down, but I, at the end of my workout, I'll put in my phone what my starting exercise was. So they might not be fully logging. Like, I don't know. Do you fully log everything, Nick?
Honestly, no, I just remember everything.
Yeah, you just remember. So I think Dusty logs, don't you?
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you log post-workout, Dusty? Is that what you do? Like you kind of sit down and write what you did?
No, I do it during.
Oh, are you on your phone?
No, I have a. I'm old school.
Okay.
This device called a pen.
Oh, okay. Just because
when Nick's never actually used one of those.
Right.
I only have laptops and cell phones.
It's like a pen.
It's actually.
What's a pen?
Like you bust out a map. They're like, what is that? A paper GPS? What the fuck?
How do you read this?
It's not talking.
It's a drawing.
No, so no, I do. But the reason I do that is because of with the amount of like, for, especially like rest pause and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, the only thing I will do sometimes, like if I forget, is every set is filmed so I can go back. I mean,
Dusty, are you a fan of drop sets?
I don't do drop sets. I do rest pause. Yeah. The reason is because my thought process is, and it doesn't mean I don't do them. I mean, fuck, I did some yesterday. But for the most part, I find instead of like most people, it's like, okay, I can do 405 for 7. I'm like, okay, cool. But if you do a rest pause, you can do it for 12 because you get 7, you take, 40 seconds, you go again, get 3 or 4. So my whole thought process is really simple. It's how can I use the maximum weight every time as opposed to dropping down? But I do find, we all have discussed this 100 times, that soreness doesn't necessarily mean a good workout. But if I throw drop sets in after a couple of months, I'm fucking a mess the next day.
Yeah, it gets you.
I do like throwing that stuff in, especially like during prep, because that's when I start changing my – I still train heavy as hell, but I also think of training as a little bit of part of my losing fat.
Yeah.
So it's like end of the workout, okay, I've already done my heavy shit. Let's just make sure this muscle is done. Nothing.
That's what I normally do. Like, my first two exercises, whatever body part, is usually like my heavy movements.
Yeah.
And then the rest, I still go heavy, but on those, I might do a rest pause or a drop set.
Mm-hmm.
And go, that's normally how I'll finish a workout.
Yeah. Yeah. And I don't track those movements. So, a cable lateral movement. I'm not going to write down 27.5 pounds for 15. Doesn't fucking matter.
Right.
I don't want to write that down anyways. It's embarrassing.
Yeah. No, I'm even myself, like there's certain exercises, I'm a little more beat up than either one of you guys, but certain exercises, I think, lend themselves better to rest pause, and other things lend themselves better to drop sets for me.
Okay.
I don't do rest pause on pressing. Because I got a fucked up tricep. So my tricep dies. If I do rest pause, my tricep just like fucking dies early. But if I do a drop set, I can fucking smoke my pecs. It's just kind of, it just has to do with leverage and strength and stuff. So there's like certain things that I don't do rest pause on, but certain things I love. Like nothing is worse than a rest pause set on a hack squat or the leg press. Brutal, and then it just such a huge movement and you're moving like big weights, it's a big fucking deal. So those are stuff that's like, when I'm really in the mood or my training partner's like, okay, it's like, let's do it.
You're feeling real good today.
Yeah. You know what I mean?
Emily talked some shit today before you left the house.
Yeah. The girlfriend got me stirred up and then I watched a Nick Walker video and fuck, here I am,
as he's walking out. Do you remember when you were big?
What? Remember back when? Yeah.
Say to you, man.
Yeah.
You remember when you were big?
She said that the other day. She's like, remember back when you were like really big?
You're all.
I was like, oh yeah, I do. Oh, thanks for reminding me.
Yeah. So we're on the 27th floor, right? So if I jump out this window, I'll. It's the end, right?
Trying.
So I gotta throw, of course, me, I'm keeping all the important stuff. I'm not going to give douchebags the time of day of saying their name on our show. But I had somebody ask, you have a couple people who really like to hammer you.
Yeah, I know.
And the two I'm talking about. One of them blows for money and the other one's a federal informant. Anyways, those two. You get that now? How do you deal with that shit? Like, does it even bother you? The question was those two douchebags constantly bashing him and his coach. What's he think about it?
I'm to a point where, like, so when I first my name started to get really noticed about like 2 or 3 years ago. Mm-hmm. I got a lot of negativity there. And I wanted to punch everybody in the face. Like, I didn't, like, literally, I couldn't handle it, and I was angry. Now, I just, because I see how much support I have now from everyone, like, mm-hmm. people I don't even know, I don't even care anymore.
Yeah. Right.
And that, but not only that, there's nothing anyone can say to me now that I have not heard already.
Right.
So, at this point, I just laugh.
Right.
Like, I just think it's comical. You have nothing better to do than talk shit on people. Like, that's sad.
Right. Well, that's why I was curious. That's the reason I asked, is I read that it actually, a lot of people ask us, or like when I do my Q&As, a lot of things that come up are like self-esteem and that kind of stuff. So I think it's important because guys, they look up to someone like you when you're fucking 25. You're already a pro. I mean, you are. I'm sorry. You're just waiting for the moment to catch up.
It's coming this year.
You know, so that gets done. And I think it just shocks people when they're like, how are you on that level and getting hammered? But, you know, to me, the reason is because you're successful. Yeah, you know, if you don't matter, there's nothing to talk about.
If no one talks about you, you're not important.
You know,
you know, that's the way I look at it. But the best advice I can give for people who are getting negativity and can't handle it, just ignore it. Don't engage. You're giving them what they want, which is engagement.
Another thing I've found, you know, with all my years.
he's old.
Another thing I've found is that if, like, the people that are going to take the time to talk negative about you usually have something kind of sad going on. And if you just let them operate to their own devices, they will take care of their own misery. Yeah. Like you don't have to do anything.
You don't.
You know, when there's negative people like that trying to bring you down, I think, and we're in the age now where people are smart enough to go, oh, this guy just talks shit about people all day. And it eventually you don't have to worry about it. The time will come when, you know, you'll still be there. You know what I mean? So
that's going anywhere. So
You know, I mean, Dusty's had to put up with negativity his whole life. I mean, you know, look at him.
Started with my mother, and she was like, "Ah, I knew I should have got a coat hanger." I'm like, "What, Mom? Jesus!"
Yeah.
You know what's funny though is
Dusty.
If you lock those things down, I mean, it's one thing I like about the change with social media is sometimes I like to be the cat knocking the shit out of the mouse when somebody decides to jump on my page and talk shit. But for the most part, I literally just block and delete like as soon as I read it because it'll derail. I mean, because even with your fans, they'll jump in there and handle it for you. But then the point of your post gets lost because, you know, it's the other shit. So, yeah, I just think it's good to see because, I mean, more and more. It's funny, but I guess because I don't follow the negative shit bags, I don't even hear it. So when I hear like, oh, this guy is talking shit about Nick, I'm like, oh, well, yeah, I know who Nick is and that guy's nothing. So I don't follow him.
Right.
I've done that before on my page where someone bashes me and I'm like, I don't know your name, but you know mine.
Yeah,
exactly. Well, you know what's funny is I find it's always the ones that have like no profile picture, no pictures, no followers. Those are all the fake accounts that, you know, they're the ones talking all the shit. And it's like, whatever, man. Like,
yeah.
I don't have time for that.
I always text Ron. I'm like, that's not even original, dude. And stop using a fake thing when you talk shit about me.
Yeah.
Do it from yours. It's funnier.
Exactly.
I'm trying to undermine you, Dusty. Always. I'm always trying to be the more popular of the two hosts. You know, I was really upset. I went on a YouTube video the other day and this guy commented, he goes, I love this show. Ron and Dusty are both so awesome. Dusty is hilarious.
Just when it was equal.
And I was like, you could have stopped it. Ron and Dusty are both awesome. You had to give him an extra compliment that I didn't get.
Come back through. And Ron is attractive. Oh, there it is.
And Ron's okay. He's good. You know, Dusty needs somebody there with him, right?
I pay friends to comment every now and then. It's not a big deal. It's well-spent money.
Yes. I was going to ask you, I got a question. Well, I got several questions here about the drug side of things. Now, we talk about it a little bit, but the main thing I wanted to talk about is when people see a guy like you who's next level, you know, got all the tools, you've got the genetics, obviously, the structure, the shape. Is there anything he doesn't have, Dusty? Except for your head.
Definitely. My head full of nickels would be worth millions.
So, when I know how it is when people see, they see the freaks, the young super freak. And a lot of them, their first thing is, oh, that's the kid that, you know, that's a kid that jumped on everything right off the bat. And when in reality, I mean, you've been around long enough to know what Dusty and I already know. It's usually the guys chasing you guys that are taking,
everything in the book.
Yeah. Right. Right. So how do you feel about what's going on with that right now in bodybuilding, you know, as a young guy coming up?
I think there's a lot of bad advice going around to the young kids.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm talking like I'm old, I'm young too, but there's a lot of even people that, you know, these YouTube or Instagram famous people giving out wrong advice that you got to take this amount, this amount, this amount, this amount in order to get to look like me, to look like Dusty, and you don't.
Right.
Like yes, genetics play a role, 100%. But if you execute your training, your diet, and your recovery, and, you know, minimize your supplement intake, you'd be surprised what can happen. And yeah. I've learned that. Like, I don't take much. I don't need to.
Yeah.
No one would ever believe that, though. But
of course not.
That's.
Do you find with your clients, or even just people you talk to, that if you can get them to trust you, and either back off or whatever it is on the gear, that they start to realize that gear hides mistakes? Because that's what I find is anybody can grow if they're gassed to the roof. I like to take on a new client and go, cool. I mean, if they've been on for a while, I'm like, all right, down to 200. Now I'm going to figure out your body. I already know what test does, you know? So did you find that's something that people struggle with believing when you talk to them, is when you're like, you're not trying to understate drugs. You're trying to get them to see the truth behind the true foundation.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Like, because whenever I get a new client, you know, that's the first question, because, mm-hmm. you know, the drugs. And, you know, I'll tell them what's appropriate, and then they'll look at me like I'm crazy.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm like, just trust me. Execute your training. Follow the diet and do this and watch what happens.
Yeah.
And a lot of them are like, oh, wow. You know, like, it's. I think taking too much can backfire on you, and you don't get results anyway.
Right,
your body's
right.
not absorbing it.
Yeah.
If you take enough to where your body can absorb it, and like I said, you execute every other area, you'll get the results you want.
I just had a client tell me, he goes, you know, I just realized I'm getting you for free. And I said, oh, what do you mean? And he goes, well, we started 8 months ago. And, you know, when we started 8 months ago, he was taking like a lot of generic GH. So he's spending like $600 a month on kits that are shit anyways. Mm-hmm. Or even if they were good, he wasn't at the level where they would even make a difference. Like he was just, you know what I mean? He's just trying to get in shape. So he's spending like $600 a month on drugs. And when I started with him, I said, okay, take 200 milligrams of test a week and nothing else. And he was like, what? And then here he is 8 months later, you know, his waist is down, you know, inches, his weight's the same, his strength's up in every single movement. And he's like, I just realized I've been getting you for free because you're saving me so much money on the shit I used to take.
So Ron immediately raised his prices.
Yeah. So I was like, oh, we're going up. So now you have to give me a kit of GH every month.
He's older. He needs to recover. That makes sense to me.
Yeah. I know everyone seems to have the same experience with that. You know, all the guys like you and us that take clients is that sort of deer in the headlights, like the reverse deer in headlights. It's not the amount, it's the lack.
Right.
Like what?
Exactly.
That's it?
Yeah.
And most people that take a large amount don't really train hard anyway to get the results from it that they need.
Yeah.
My whole thing is always get the most out of the least.
Right.
And then progress from there.
So is that your main gig? Like you're mostly online training people?
I get paid from some sponsors now too.
Right.
So, but most of it's from online training. Yeah.
Yeah. So who are you sponsored by right now? I see you got the Iron Rebel shirt on.
Iron Rebel, Revive, and Condemned.
Okay, sweet. Okay. People can obviously find them on your Instagram and stuff, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I had another question here. So as far as your training goes, I mean, we've talked about how you train like progressive style. I think Matt has, like, most of his bodybuilders train that way, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Big believer in that. How were you training when you started? Because, you know, you put a whole bunch of size on early. So what were you doing then?
I was a more volume guy. I did a lot of volume. And I think that got me to a certain point. And then Matt, you know, we changed it to where we backed off the volume, obviously, and just upped the intensity for like one or two sets per exercise and got in, got out. And my body has just transformed and hasn't stopped since. So that, I think that alone has given me my most progression in my entire life of training.
Yeah.
Dusty. I'm baiting this on purpose, obviously, but I like to drive home with all of our guests the same storyline, so guys get it. Is it safe to say that you backed down training and learned to eat more when you wanted to grow?
Oh, I definitely eat more. Yeah, 100%.
You know, I mean, because I find that that's a normal thing. Guys that are even big, I mean, it's not like you went to Matt and you were like some mediocre bodybuilder. You're already winning shows. You already were going to be a pro. Yeah. But I'm sure the first thing he did when he took you over is like, cool, you need to eat more.
Yeah, we ate a lot.
What's an off-season day look like right now?
Right now?
Yeah, like what's an off-season day?
I'll read it to you.
Oh, go. Boom.
I like this.
Straight from the phone, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah. I'll tell you what.
Funny, because it's actually a question, but I put it in there like it was mine. Because I'm a fucking.
It's funny. I think we got a lot of the same questions. I think, Dusty, you and I got people kind of hit us both with the same questions to make sure we got them.
Well, they want to make sure, because I don't pay attention, that you'll find
So right now, my first meal, I do 150 grams of oats, 100 grams of berries, 40 grams almond butter, 250 grams of steak, and 8 ounces of juice.
What flavor is the juice?
Matters.
Is it orange juice or apple juice?
It's Naked Juice brand, so I do strawberry banana.
Oh,
nice. Like a smoothie juice. It's really good.
I like that. It's really
good. Delicious.
And then my pre-training meal, because I usually train after two meals, I do 350 grams of rice, two slices of Dave's Killer Bread, 250 grams of 99 ground turkey, 65 grams of avocado, and 100 grams of pineapple.
Okay.
And then my intra-workout, I have 5 grams of creatine, 15 grams of EAAs, and 50 grams of intra-carbs.
Okay.
And then post-workout, I just do EAAs. And then with my post-workout meal, it's 350 grams of rice, two slices of Killer Bread, 250 grams of steak, and 150 grams of blueberries. And then meal four is 150 grams of oats or 130 grams of cream of rice, 40 grams of almond butter, and then 65 grams of white isolate.
Ah.
Meal five is 250 grams of ground turkey, five slices of Dave's Killer Bread, 30 grams of almond butter, and 30 grams of jam. And then before I go to bed, I do 15 grams of mac nut oil, 250 grams of ground turkey, 280 grams of jasmine rice, 100 grams of asparagus, and an apple.
Fuck, there's a lot of like variety in there. Like you got the blueberries, you got the, you know what I mean? Yeah, and then
it's easy to get down for me.
And then you know, you're taking care of the girlfriend with pineapple in there. It's very thoughtful.
Well done.
And
you know, a good man.
You know,
she doesn't complain.
See these things. I'm a vet. I see this. I know why that's there.
So twice
could have been banana.
Daily,
yeah,
it?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Some kid only wrote down pineapple twice. That's a lot of food, but let's write down this pineapple shit.
Try to get that in there.
Google.
So it's a lot of solid food, first of all. You know what I mean? You're not blending up like any
I don't like blender full
drinks or anything.
You just like to eat. One I may blend if I don't feel like eating, which I never do. I only did it once. Is the meal four, which is my whey isolate with the oatmeal and stuff. Yeah. If I'm just not in the mood to eat, I'll blend that one up. But majority of the time, I eat all my meals.
Yeah, it's a lot of food to ram down, man.
I think it's key, though. Like, that's why I wanted to write that, because guys, you know, they just don't get that that's every day. You know, I can't drive that home enough because it drives me nuts. The training nasty is every time you train. The eating is every fucking day. And then, yeah, there's some drugs in there. But everyone wants to put that in the opposite order. Exactly. They don't miss their shots. But when did you miss a feel? Oh, yesterday. Well, fuck. Why?
Yeah.
I don't understand. Like, in bodybuilding, guys, I think the big thing that I always press is don't fuck up things that don't require talent.
Yeah.
There's no talent. It's fucking eating your food.
Exactly.
Get it down. I blame everything else on my talent and my parents, but the food, it's there's nothing I can say about that.
Yeah. I thank my parents every day for my genetics.
You should.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. What else do you think your parents gave you? Like, do you remember your dad competing, or was that kind of before you were born?
No, I've never seen pictures or anything, but the from what I've heard, he was, you know, if he kept it going, he probably could have been something good.
Right. So it was before you can remember then. You don't remember.
Yeah, it was before, you know, me and my brother were even in the picture.
Yeah. So what do you think you got from, you know, your upbringing that makes you a better bodybuilder?
Work ethic.
And why do you think you have that?
It was both of my parents actually. But seeing how hard my dad works, you know, he goes to his job, he gets up at like 3 o'clock in the morning, doesn't go home till sometimes 7-8 o'clock at night, and he doesn't complain. He just does what he has to do because he knows he's got a family to feed, and that's it. And he knows that when you want to go after something, you got to work for it. And that's, you know, he instilled that in me, and this is what I want to do. And no matter how hard prep gets and tired I am, you just do it. You know, if it's something you want to do, you do it.
What does your dad do?
Well, he works for U.S. Food Service, the food company. So he delivers all like the food to place, all like schools and businesses and stuff.
So he's driving a big truck?
Yeah, big tractor trailer.
Yeah, man. Okay. So just blue collar work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's bodybuilding 101 right there, man.
Yeah.
Blue collar fucking work.
What was your mom like growing up?
Oh, she was a party monster.
Okay.
Complete opposite of how me and my dad are. My mom was a party monster. All the Motley Crue shit, that was her thing.
Oh, that's bad. There we go. Look how happy Ron is.
Yeah, she worked at all the bars, did all the partying. That was her thing.
Damn. Well, there's probably a little bit of that actually you can turn into some energy in the gym. So, you know.
Oh, yeah, I always listen to Motley Crue now because of her. I love 80s music. So.
Oh, that's beautiful.
I'm all about my 80s.
The 80s that he never saw.
I did watch the Motley Crue movie on Netflix.
Oh, it's basically the same as being there. You want to know? You want to know that the funny thing about Motley Crue is the very first cassette tape, because that's what my era was, a cassette tape, right? The very first cassette I ever bought was Showed at the Devil. So that's my first album.
That's amazing.
And I remember I bought it and I brought it home. I would have been like grade five or something.
That's awesome.
And my mom was looking at the cover and she's like, I got some questions.
That's awesome. Questions.
Yeah, man. No, I always think whenever we have a guest on, I like trying to find out like just a little bit about why they're, because Dusty and I talk about there's a reason why we're like this.
For sure.
Something wrong with us.
You know? Well, if we're going to be true, I used to be a little party monster when I was in high school. But I grew out of that pretty quickly. I did it too much. I got it out of my system.
Right.
I got that part from my mom.
And when you say you used to play sports and stuff, what sport do you think? I mean, obviously you said you played baseball the most, but is there anything you remember from your sporting background that actually like you think really, really affects your mindset now? Any experiences when you were an athlete before, winning, losing, that sort of stuff?
I mean, yeah, I guess you could say I'm a sore loser to an extent. Where, because I was always, in any sport I played, I was always one of the, you know, one of the best. Not trying to sound arrogant. So if we ever lost because somebody made a mistake, I grew up. Now I'm very helpful to people. But back then when I was, you know, 12, 13 years old, that didn't work too well for me.
Right.
Like if I lost a game because somebody made an error, it just, I couldn't do it. I couldn't handle it. So
you think that-
I found that bodybuilding was, as much as, you know, we have a lot of support from people, it is a lonely sport. You know, any errors that go wrong, majority of it's on you. And that, you know, that's what I liked the most about it when I started.
Yeah.
I love that. I agree. I think that's the draw when you're, you know, I always point out, we don't have a lot of control in the world, really.
Yeah.
But in bodybuilding, we do. Like, you want to get leaner, you want to get bigger, you want to get stronger. Like, you literally know how to do that.
Exactly.
Right now, but you have to be the one that puts in the work and gets it done. You know, like, people can support you, but when you go to the gym and get on that fucking step mill and you don't want to, that's on you.
You're the one training. You're the one eating all the food. You're the one doing the cardio. Like, no one's doing it for you.
Yep.
You know?
I factor that in when I'm watching clients and stuff, because a lot of people, and I'm sure you understand this, they don't realize how much they have in them. So they'll send me videos, and they've been with me for some time. In fact, one of my really good clients put a Rackdead video the other day, and I watched it, and he put it down at 8, and I said, he had 10.
Right.
Like immediately. I mean, I was like, I was
doing that with my own videos.
Way you're putting that down.
I'm doing that with my own videos.
Yeah, and that's a thing.
I'll go back and I'll look, and then of course you're in the heat of the moment, and it feels like you don't got it, and then you look, you're like, I definitely had more. Like that, I'm not even struggling yet.
Yeah, you thought because it was heavy, but I think that's why if you get like you had before your good training partner with Matt training with me for so long, he'll actually tell me to stop.
Right. Is that it's time to stop?
Yeah. If he says you're done, I'm like, okay, because that means something's about to go sideways that I'm not even seeing. But no, I think that's an awesome point because you really do find what is in you. And I don't think most people realize, like, they're not even close.
No.
So as soon as you just click that over, it's holy fuck.
Yeah.
What? Yeah. what do you think about your training, if anything, has changed in the last year that you think made a difference to your physique? Is there anything that you've changed?
No.
It's just
honestly, since me and Matt been together, it's just, you know,
how many years has that been? That's been 2 years?
We started in September of 18. So that was our official start point.
How often do you guys do any kind of deloading? We've been getting a lot of questions about that lately.
You want to be honest?
Yeah.
I never do.
So there's Dusty deloads once every, 12, 14 months?
Yeah. What's funny is I make people do it, and then I was telling on the last episode.
I'm terrible at it.
I just did it because I realized one day is my best lift, I was off. I'm doing a deadlift, and I realized, I was thinking about where my eyes were and why am I not sitting in my – I was thinking, and I'm like
– You're beat.
I don't think. I just pick shit up. And then I looked at Matt, and I was like, hey, when's the last time we deload? And he's like, well, before I tore my biceps. I'm like, well, how long have you been back? He goes, 7 months. I'm like, so it's been like a year. He's like, yeah, fuck.
So for me, deloading for me is I'll tell my partner, I'm like, no forced reps on this one. And then I think, and then
one set, one
and then
set.
In my head, I'm like, I deloaded today.
No, honestly, if I get to that point where my body just needs a break, I just take time off.
I had someone ask me the other day,
honestly,
what do you do for deload? And I just said, honestly, I was never good at it. I would just take a week if I had to.
That's what I did. Like, I'll use a perfect example. Like, after I got home from the LA Fit Expo, my body was shot to shit. Like, I was gone. So I got home on a Wednesday. Thursday, I tried to go to the gym. Everything felt heavy. I got no pump. So I was T-bar on my back day, and I had, like, 4 plates on there, and that felt heavy as shit. And I'm like,
I'm going to go home.
I'm like, you know what? I'm going home. This isn't happening for me.
Yeah.
So the next 3 days, I literally just ate, slept, and that was it. ate and slept and watched Netflix, came back Monday, and I was perfectly fine.
Yeah, it's I remember vividly remember I went into the gym one day and I was starting some incline barbell many years ago.
You always know.
And I remember feeling like, man, I just like my shoulder kind of hurts and I'm kind of weak. And I remember I had just read that Dorian, when Dorian was, you know, at his biggest and best, if he didn't feel the warm up, he would just leave, come back the next day and do the workout, just take an extra day off.
Exactly. Sometimes it only takes one day.
But man, I remember the challenge of forcing myself to go home that day.
To go home. It is.
Because it was such an, like, it was like I was wrestling with my ego, you know? And then also there was like this bit of me that I realize now, but back when I was, you know, competing, I could not let anyone see me not train fucking hard. It would be like,
exactly. Like, if I can't train the way I want to train, I go home.
Yeah. Like, I don't want anyone to see me doing like eight.
My day's
10,
done.
Like,
I'm not doing a deload and fucking throwing 25s. I'm good. I'm going home.
Yeah. I couldn't take it. Right. But I remember I went home that
trying
day.
To take a video of me fucking, look at Nick doing 25s, weak bitch. Like, no, I'm good. Going
Here we go.
We're going home.
All drugs. All drugs.
All drugs. Evidence that Nick Walker is all drugs. Yeah.
This is out.
On IGTV.
That's what I would do. No, I'm going home.
Man. So how many weeks do you start your diet?
As far as I know right now, we're supposed to start after the Arnold.
Okay.
But we'll see how I look first and then kind of go from there.
Who do you think is going to win the Arnold?
Big Ramy.
Okay.
I have him, I have Dexter in second, and Sergio in third.
Oh, wow, I like that.
I like that crew. That's a good lineup.
I think Sergio is going to shock a lot of people this year.
Yeah.
Sergio had a nice little year off.
I may have seen a photo that Aceto may have sent me.
But you didn't. But you might have.
I might have.
We never see those.
So that being said, what are your predictions?
Well, I saw Ramy guest pose. I actually emceed a show in November, and Ramy came in. He trained at my gym for the whole week. He was in there every day.
Yeah.
And then he guest posed at the show. So I saw him, like, you know, I was on stage with him. And I just remember thinking, like, holy fucking Jesus. If he, he wasn't even that fat. He was 345 pounds, they told me. And like he didn't have any like sogginess on him. He was pretty tight. Like he had full abs. He had some stripes.
I'll tell you what, if he can just bring it in,
fucking,
he could win multiple Olympias.
Yeah, like he definitely does not have to worry about being full.
No, he's good. He could come in flat and win.
Holy fuck.
And we wouldn't know he was flat.
Exactly. Just be shredded, man. That's it.
Yeah.
Eat for 3 weeks and do cardio.
I took a video from, like, I was standing, you know, at the MC stand. So I was along the stage like this. And I took a video of him doing all his back shots. He didn't even have a distended, like, not even like a food belly. He didn't even have a food baby. He had a flat stomach with bricks of abs on it, doing his back double at a guest posing at 345.
Yeah.
And I showed the video to like a dozen people. I was like, what do you see there? And they're like, holy shit, he has no gut. And then he turns around. No gut, hits his most muscular, no gut. Like, it was pretty impressive, man. I'd never seen him look like that before. So the next time he walks on stage, it's going to be something else.
I think he's going to be shocked at the Arnold.
Yeah.
I'm excited to see.
And I'm looking forward to being shocked at the North Americans, too.
That won't be no shock.
There you go.
There it is. I love that.
That's exactly what I wanted to hear. There will be no shock. Are you gonna be doing like progress pictures for everyone to see, or are you gonna kind of stay hoodied up after 8 weeks or anything?
No. Yeah,
throw them up.
Everyone to see.
I want everyone to save their money on plane tickets.
Just don't
all have. Those competitors. Think of all that money wasted on hotel rooms.
Exactly. Don't waste your money.
There you go. Do them all a favor.
At Nationals, it's a couple weeks later. It's fine. Miami's a beautiful place. It's a
city. You don't have to go to Pittsburgh.
It's a nicer place to vacation anyway. Stay a few days. Enjoy.
Extend your summer. You don't have to diet so long. It's
exactly.
Sit on the beach and eat pineapple. That's what you could do after you get your card, buddy.
Exactly what I'm doing. I'm bringing all the pineapple.
I'm bringing
a whole one. Just give me a whole one. Okay.
Thanks for coming on, man. We really appreciate it.
Thank you guys.
I was really happy when we first started talking. I found out you actually watched the show. I was like, oh, fuck it. Yeah. Awesome. You know, at least we won't have to pay him to come on.
I love doing stuff like this.
Yeah. Anything you want to say, any last stuff you want to say to everybody, like where can they reach you for damn certain if they want you to, you know, help them out or anything?
They can go on my Instagram, which is Nick_Walker39, or they can just email me at Nick.Walker94@yahoo.com.
So you born in 94?
Yeah.
God damn. Yeah. Holy shit. Yeah. When I saw your Skype, Nick94, I was like, ah, fuck.
Yeah, I'm 25.
Yeah, I know, man. Live it up. Live it up. Thanks, man.
Thank you, guys. Thank you for having me.
No doubt.
You bet. Thanks, Nick. That went really well.
Man. Yeah, I felt like that was it's good to have guys on where the show could have been 4 hours without even, like, attempting.
Yeah, you know? it was funny. I just looked up at the time and I was like, oh, we basically had him an hour. And, you know, I mean, I know you and I can go forever. And if
might have a life. So we don't know.
He might have something to do. I don't know.
Yeah, you're like me, though. When I ask a guest, I don't tell them how long it will be.
I sort of say we usually go an hour.
Yeah, I didn't even do that because I have no intention of actually knowing. And if they're terrible, I can cut them off at 30 minutes. I'm like, and we're done.
Right. No, and a great guy. And, you know, also too, another testament to just, I was talking about this the other day. I think bodybuilding is just an awesome subculture of people. I mean, I know we get our idiots and our morons, but everybody, every subculture, every group has that. We have, bodybuilding is such an awesome mix of people. Like, you know, what a great guy. Like, I never met him. We're sitting here laughing and making jokes and on the same page with a lot of stuff. And, you know, bodybuilding is very, you know, very welcoming. And there's, you know, none of this sort of bullshit where you have to behave a certain way. You can just be yourself. It's a good little bubble. I mean, bodybuilding accepted you.
Well, because I don't behave at all.
Yeah.
So, and I'm still here. You know what the thing is, though, truthfully, is that I loved, and I knew this from talking to Nick before, but I was happy to see is, as someone, I mean, I was brought up from 90s bodybuilders. That's who taught me when I was just getting started in the mid-2000s. So I feel like I'm old school because of them. So when you see a guy like Nick, who's old school, that grew up with Instagram, that's awesome to see that bodybuilding is in good hands,
right?
You know, because I look and he's going to be a leader in the sport in many ways, not just competitively, but also training people and this and that. The sport's not going to die like some people believe it will when watching the Instagram warriors. You know what I'm saying?
Right. I know what you mean. Yeah, he makes me happy. He trains fucking hard. He's huge. He's a freak. He looks like a, you know, like when I see his physique, I think of like the freaks in the 90s. Like I think of Nasser and like,
oh yeah,
you know, like really just overwhelming,
just gnarly looking. And the nice thing is he's so freaky that, you know, at the LA Fit Expo in a t-shirt, you know,
yeah.
You know what I mean? Like he's in a t-shirt. No, not cut off sleeves, in a t-shirt. And he's just fucking massive. But you can also see that it's all there. You know, when I'm at, like, here's something that I don't think people realize that I always laugh about. You see these freaks, I mean, fucking freaks at expos, and you don't know who they are because you know something's missing.
Right.
There's it's a train wreck. It doesn't go together. Something is missing in that physique. And then there's a guy like Nick where even a t-shirt, you're like, yep, it's all fucking there.
Right. Like, you know, that kind of like, well, I mean, like the expo bodybuilders. I mean, remember how Rich used to look at the expo?
Yep.
Right. I mean, you know, like unbelievable, but of course, you know, he wouldn't want to compete at that point. Right.
Yeah. A little bit,
you know, so there's a lot of that at expos. You know, you get the people that fuck, they look great at the booth. But when you look at Nick, you're like, oh, that's a bodybuilder. That's right. A guy who like has depth through like every single muscle group on his body.
Plus, you know what it is, Ron? Is everyone, there's always room for another bodybuilder, another freak, right? Yeah. But, and I'm sure you've done this too. I laugh now when I see a tatted up, oiled up guy at a show, because I'm like, oh, you want to be rich? Dad, there's only one of those.
Right.
Like it doesn't get recreated. And when you're a true bodybuilder's bodybuilder freak, Nick Walker is Nick Walker. He's not trying to be nasty. He's just a fucking freak. And you can bunch them all together and go, those are freaks. You know, that's what I put up in my Instagram post, is we have a freak's freak today. Like even amongst the freaky fuckers, he's freakier, you know? And that's at 20, and dude, that's at 25 years old. Like, just imagine, like, he doesn't even know the gears he hasn't found yet.
Right.
You know, I mean, I think that's what's exciting when you see a guy like that and you're like, God, what's it going to be in five years?
And he's the type of bodybuilder where the bigger the challenge, the more he'll rise to it. So he'll elevate himself as he progresses through the levels. You know what I mean? It's going to be good to see, but I mean, with Matt in his corner, I mean, I think everything's going to be a good year for him. So,
oh no, it will be. It was funny. Yeah. Cause, when I saw him at the, LA Fit Expo, he asked me, cause I was at the USA's, he was like, I won that. Right. And I was like, no. And he was stunned, because here's the reason I say no, it was a coin flip, and Nick doesn't need to coin flip with anyone.
Right.
You're too fucking good.
Yeah.
Stomp them. Be done. And that is what I see happening at North Americans. I think you're going to get, and don't get me wrong, he worked, it's not a matter of he rested on his laurels or anything, but I think he's going to be fucking angry. Because, and this is something I tell people all the time, don't give the judges a choice.
Yeah.
And you gave them an option. Do I think that Nick was the best bodybuilder at the USA? He's not even fucking close, yes. He is the best bodybuilder. He has the best career possibilities. Not even close.
Right.
But he gave him a choice.
Right.
He is not going to give them a choice, North Americans. I believe he will walk out, face the front, and the show will be over.
That's exactly what I just told someone else. They asked me about my infamous string of seconds.
Right.
You know, I have 10 seconds at pro qualifiers.
Ouch.
And so they asked me, like, oh, that must really have pissed you off. And I'm like, no, man, it didn't. Because I wasn't good enough to win. Like, unless you win with straight first.
Yeah.
You know, like, that's the only time you could say I stomped the show, right? And it is, I wasn't good enough, or I wasn't able to make it a clear win. So I wound up with a bunch of close seconds.
Right.
You know, mind you, I was coming up against great guys, but that's just how it is. And so, you know, you're right. If you want to really, really want to win, you have to make it an undeniable, you know, that's the only way you can guarantee anything, is just make it undisputable, you know?
Well, and when you have his mindset and his genetics, that can be done.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So I'm excited to see it happen. I might make the trek just to watch that.
We got some Coach's Corner time.
Hey, I got Gatorade left. Let's do this.
I got Gatorade left. My water's not empty yet. It's we're good to go. I was going to bring something up. I watched a movie the other day. I was going to ask if you've seen it. Everyone's talking about it. Uncut Gems with Adam Sandler.
I have not seen it.
You got to see it and let me know what you think.
Okay.
It's anyone out there that's seen it on Netflix and they're like, Uncut Gems with Adam Sandler. I heard about this. You should watch it. It's I only had one person go, what was the point of that movie? Like, they didn't like it, but everyone else was like, holy shit, was he awesome in that?
Really?
Like, blow, like, you know, because, you know, when we think Adam Sandler, we think of, like, I think of the Hanukkah song.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
And but he's fucking, it was a hardcore movie, man. And all the characters in it were just so crazy, because it's this Manhattan jewel dealer.
Right.
So he's dealing with, like, all these shady characters, you know. He's got, like, a Jewish mafia and, you know, Italian mafia kind of guys, and just all these, you know. And then there are some scenes involving, like, the pawn shops in Manhattan. Right. You know, because he's got a gambling problem, so he's moving money all over the place trying to cover it. You know what I mean? He's it's complete chaos. So he's like, I got to pawn this to make this bet so I can win the money to give this guy his money. Like, it's all this chaos.
Money all over the place.
So I guess he shadowed a Manhattan District jewelry dealer for like a long time. He hung out with them and he like learned the lingo and the way they dress. And he's got gold chains, a big oversized leather jacket. Like he's just, he looks like a bit of a dirtbag.
Right.
And then there was a scene where they go into a pawn shop. There's this pawn shop he kind of goes to, right?
Mm-hmm.
A couple times. The guys that are in the pawn shop are the real owners of the pawn shop.
Right.
And so they wrote their own dialogue so that it would sound exactly perfectly real.
Right. So
they told the movie makers what to say. They're like, this is what we would say. This is what we would value that at. This is what we would, you know.
Right.
So, and when you see those characters, you know they're real.
Right.
Like, just the way they talk. You're like, oh, this guy's not, this is not an actor. This is a fucking pawn shop dealer. Right?
Right.
And there's a bunch. It's just, and it's, you know, it's got Kevin Garnett in it, the basketball player.
Right.
And he's like a major role. He's one of like the main people in the movie.
Well,
and he does a great job. Great job. Yeah, fuck. It's pretty intense. So the whole reason I liked it was it's 2 hours and 13 minutes long. I didn't look at my watch. Didn't look at the time once. I'm sitting on the edge of my seat because it's kind of a hectic fucking movie, right?
Right.
So it takes place in like a, I don't know, 48-hour time span maybe, or a weekend or something. It's like a short period of time. So it keeps you like, holy fuck, you know? So that's my recommendation.
Uncut Gems.
Uncut Gems. Any recommendations from you? People asking me what we're watching. We did talk about The Expanse. I'm halfway through season two. I don't know how far you are.
Yeah, I've wrecked it.
You finished it? Okay, I got to catch up.
You know how you sleep for 8 hours? I got that extra five.
Okay, I got to catch up on The Expanse.
Because I refuse to actually... That's my only rule. I don't know if I told you, but when I don't sleep is I don't work.
Yeah, that's...
Because
yeah,
I wake up.
Yeah.
So I end up watching television at weird ass times.
Okay. any recommendations?
You know what? Right now, I'm kind of in the search for good new stuff. You know, so I've went back on some shows that I actually liked that I used to watch spotty. So I'm about to finish up Chicago PD, which I don't know if you ever watched that.
Oh.
But it's not on. How do I put this? It's not the kind of shows I usually watch because it's a little more like normal television, but really, really solid a show. I like anything where you kind of get a more inside view of how you would expect it to be. Like, I wish more cops were that way. Like, maybe a little plane in the gray area to get shit done.
I'm going to go way out on a limb here. Is there a really attractive woman in it?
Well, I'm watching it. That's, you know what's funny? I always like think about that when I watch cop shows.
I'm
like,
look at the cast.
Been pulled over many times. The bitch that pulls me over never looks like her.
Right.
Ever.
Right. I have to admit, the nerd in me did start watching the new Picard series, the new Star Trek. Big fan so far. It's interesting. I'm eagerly awaiting the arrival of Jerry Ryan.
Look at you, though. You're all over the place. Like, how do you – I just get into a show and finish it.
Well, yeah.
I'm just five different things. What's happening?
I got a lot of – you know, I got to see Jerry Ryan, and I got to finish The Expanse, and it's just – there's priorities, Dusty.
How do you sit down and make these decisions? You got one show you're going to watch tonight. You just – how do you do it?
Well, I'm trying to power through The Expanse. Right. And Picard is coming out like they're not doing the whole – they don't drop the whole season. They drop in one at a time. So I'm kind of – as Crave drops them or whatever, I'm sort of like getting them done.
That makes it a little more acceptable.
Yeah.
No, I can't watch shows like that, though. I won't start until I get the season because I hate when they cliffhang me.
Yeah.
And I got to wait a week.
Fucks.
Because I'm like, it's 3 a.m. What the fuck am I supposed to do? I'm ready now.
No. And then, of course, Emily and I just finished two seasons of a show called You.
Yes.
Have you seen that at all?
Yes. I got drawn into that one too.
So that was fun. It was a quick watch, a little over the top, obviously. You're wondering about like DNA evidence and did the cops drop that investigation pretty quick. But
a lot of
if you can if you can get past that stuff and just enjoy it, it's kind of a, like a fun ride. And man, he's a fucking creepy fucker, isn't he?
No, I took that show on the same way I do. Like I watch Bad Boys over the weekend.
Like the new movie, you mean?
The movie, yeah.
Bad Boys 4?
Yeah, fuck, 100. I don't know. But what I meant by that is you have to ignore the things that are just stupid, that just don't work.
It's entertainment. It's a fun show.
Just enjoy and call it a day. Yeah. Because it's not so bad. It's not like Fast and the Furious where I'm like, his car's flying.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I can't watch those. I don't even watch those. So I'm like, no, that's stupid. But yeah, you was like that, where you just have to let some shit slide and be like, that's okay.
Yeah.
That's okay. They can't all be perfect shots. Well, you know, one thing I was going to throw out in the same section that we're going to start doing every show, which I already warned you of, and I'm going to put it up, is what is a show or a movie, I'm going to say a movie, that irregardless of what part of the movie is on, if you pass it on television, you stop and you watch the thing.
Pulp Fiction.
Great.
It doesn't matter what scene it's at. I got to stop, and I usually know the dialogue pretty good.
Of course.
Certain lines I say I'm with the actors and stuff.
Don't you love when that happens, though? Like when a show pops on. I was telling you when I brought this up to you the other day, the idea came to my head because I don't watch television.
Yeah.
I'm always going to something. Well, my TV got unplugged or something. So I think my maids must have unplugged it or whatever. So I turned the TV on and it wasn't on Netflix or Amazon or whatever. And right when it came on, I hear, not you, fat Jesus, you. And I'm like, oh, fuck. I now have to watch The Hangover right now.
Not you, fat Jesus.
So I just sit down immediately. Like, it's done. I think I forgot what I was there to do. And I probably missed some appointments that were scheduled because this has to happen. Yeah. But that was one of those moments where I realized that there's certain shows, and I know every single word. I mean, I can just sit there and quote.
From The Hangover?
Every single one. but it doesn't matter. And you still laugh your ass off when you know it's coming.
Yeah. Like, yeah, you do.
So that one was one of the ones where when I started watching, I was like, God, everyone has these movies. And Pulp Fiction is one. And I started just rapping through them. And then I found myself thinking about them and going to watch them. So this last weekend, I watched My Cousin Vinny.
Oh, fuck.
Because I remember that is a movie that's just phenomenal. And if any of you young kids have not seen it, trust me. And Marissa Tomei in that movie, holy shit.
Marissa Tomei won an Oscar for that movie.
She was phenomenal, and I fell in love with her watching the movie as a kid.
Which is extra accomplished because it was a comedy, and comedies don't win Oscars.
Yeah.
Typically, right? She was awesome in that movie. That courtroom scene at the end. That's worth the whole movie. And then, of course, people forget fucking Ralph Macchio's in it.
Yep. Karate Kid.
Karate Kid's fucking in it. It's a great movie, you know. But of course, you know, the star of the show, Joe Pesci, just what a fucking hilarious role.
That's why that show, like, literally, because that's how it came up, was saw The Hangover, had that conversation with you, and I started reviewing in my head the movies that you have to stop at, and that was one of them. And so I was like, God, I haven't seen that in a minute.
So I'll tell you another one. I'll tell you another one that I did. And I actually, it was like within the last year, it was on at my dad's place. I was out there visiting and I turned the TV on and I just had to sit down and watch like an hour of it. And it was fucking Tombstone.
Oh, yes.
And I turned it on early in the movie when Kurt Russell walks into the bar and he sees that one guy's kind of being a hustler with the cards.
Oh yeah,
and he goes over to the bartender and he's like, you know, he kind of has that little like,
gotta get rid of that dealer. Yeah,
you gotta get rid of that dealer. Like he's hurting your business. The guy's like, well, you know what I mean. So he goes over and just fucking bitch slaps a guy and gets rid of him
right in the face.
And I was like, oh shit, I gotta sit back down.
Oh yeah.
And then that scene where Doc Holliday is facing off with that really good gunman in the bar and he takes his teacup and.
Yeah, I love that when he goes, he reminds me of me. I hate him.
Yes.
Right to his face.
I'm your Huckleberry.
No, yeah, that is a great, like, see now, and there's another one. I know every single line, and now you just screwed me for 2 hours this weekend because I got to watch it.
Yeah, no, it was a great watch again. And then I started talking to some younger guys that hadn't seen Tombstone, and I was like, oh man, it's like the best Western ever.
What's the movie? All right, here's a question, and it's on the same. That you think you've introduced more people to that didn't know of it, and you were like, how'd you not know?
Oh, that's a tough one.
So mine, I'm going to give you what I think, is Office Space.
Oh, great example. Okay.
That movie I've told so many people about, and I tell them, I'm like, don't have this conversation with me and not watch it. I'm telling you. And like 3 days later, they call you and are like, oh my God.
Yeah.
How have I not seen that movie? Because if you've ever had a job you fucking hated, then you understand that entire movie.
I remember when Jonathan first started at Mutant.
Uh-huh.
He came into the office and, you know, we were all happy to have him. And the first day I came in after he started, there was a note on my computer that said, please have your TPS reports ready by Friday. And I was like, oh, this motherfucker's doing Office Space on me. It was pretty funny.
And here it is. You know, that's a great intro to somebody. I would immediately be like, I like this guy.
And then whenever I needed something from Jonathan, I'd go into his office and I'd lean on the wall and I'd be like, so, yeah, I'm just going to need you to have that ready by Friday, okay? You know, I'd talk to him like the boss.
Or anything.
Yeah, yeah. I'll have to get you to come in on Saturday, you know? you know, talk to you. It's pretty – that's such a great movie.
Oh, God,
and,
yeah.
I'd say one that I think I told the most people to watch back in the day was when I first saw Reservoir Dogs. And I know I already mentioned Pulp Fiction, and that's like another Tarantino movie. But I remember when I first saw Reservoir Dogs, it was before Pulp Fiction. So I was early on the Tarantino train.
Yeah.
And I remember seeing it and just thinking, holy shit. This movie is 100%. I know it's about bank robbers, but it's 100% dialogue.
Yeah.
Like, the whole movie pretty much takes place in that one fucking room. They've got the flashbacks that go out. And there's all these long shots where they're just having conversations. So it's like one camera shot doesn't even move. And there's just like a 5-minute conversation. So it's kind of a different – I remember noticing it was different.
Yeah.
But it was just such a great movie and, you know, the ending and everything. And then True Romance. That's another movie that I told a lot of people to watch, because I remember when I saw True Romance, I felt like most people missed it.
Right.
And I was like, no, you got to watch this. Fuck. You know, it's like Christian Slater back before he was crazy, you know,
as he was becoming.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. See, I love that, though, because like with Reservoir Dogs, see, I was like everyone else. I learned Tarantino through Pulp Fiction and went backwards.
Right.
Which I think everyone did. If you weren't a movie person, like a true movie person, Pulp Fiction is where you found Tarantino.
I remember being in the 24-hour video store back in the day.
You used to go into stores, and sometimes they didn't have the fucking movie you wanted.
Yeah, I remember I went in at like midnight one day, and the guy behind the counter was like, hey, big guy, and he held up Reservoir Dogs. He's like, don't even bother looking. I got your movie right here.
I love it.
Because I used to go in there all the time, right?
Yeah.
And I just walked up to the counter. He goes, this, watch this tonight. That's it.
Girl, okay.
I was like, okay.
You know? I love that you went to – that's like when you go to a supplement store or something like that often enough that they know you.
Yeah.
That was you at the movie place, which
no,
kids are watching this right now. They have no idea what we're talking about.
No, it's good. You used to have hookups that would tell you what to watch.
Google Blockbuster Video. Sometimes you get wild and you forgot to go to the store. You just buy your popcorn there. I mean,
yeah. It's a good time. Now, when we talked about the movie thing, I mentioned the song thing. What song is playing and you pull up in your parking spot and you can't get out of your car? You have to wait for the song to end. And you have to sit in the parking spot for like another minute and a half or whatever until the song ends.
Oh, there's so many for me, though. God, man. So many. Okay. I have some. So here's some funny. I'm gonna start with a funny one first, and I'm just gonna name the entire band. But it's because of my high school. I grew up with my hockey coach. I lived with him when I was a kid. So he used to jam Chicago all the time.
Okay.
So like, imagine like me, and I was a shitbag kid. So I had a big lifted truck, had the system, the whole thing. And if I pulled up to Blockbuster to get a movie and Chicago was there, windows are down, I'm blaring this love song all by myself. And I'm probably getting into it.
Right. There's a whole bunch of people on Spotify right now filling up Chicago, which is a wide range of music. They had a lot of records.
Yeah. Yes. But that was – so that would be my generalized weird example that no one would think of. But for example, one of the first like – one of the first like big ones would be anytime like Enter Sandman comes on or something.
Right.
That's one, or even now, I told you when you brought this up, that's one where if I was listening to it driving and you called me for 30 seconds, I would actually start the song over.
Right.
Today.
Right. Oh, you interrupted it. Yeah.
Yeah, you. This song deserves respect. I'm not going to listen to the last 3.5 minutes. I'm going to start it over.
So there's a song that I remember actually hanging out in a 7-Eleven until it ended.
The dude's like, it's fucking gonna leave.
Yeah, so I go in and I grab my drink and I'm like, fuck this song. I can't get away from this song. This is such an awesome song. I'm just gonna go look at gum for another minute. You know?
What was it?
It's 1979 by the Smashing Pumpkins. That song is just, I don't know, it's the perfect song. It's nostalgic. It's got a good riff. He's got a great melody. Makes you want to sing along. Makes me happy. It's just like
a little bit, turn 7-Eleven, a little bit.
Do I hum along?
Yeah, or did you actually sing along when you're in the 7-Eleven?
I can't hit any of those notes. I just like hum along quietly. So yeah, no, but that's one of them. Whenever 1979 comes on, I don't know what it is about that song. It makes me happy. I just have to finish it.
The amount of things that we were getting Googled today at the tail end of our show, smash. Yeah. What?
No, it's one of my favorite songs. It's funny. It's got that, you know how, you know, like you with the Chicago, it's 1979 by the Pumpkins. I remember buying that album when I was living in New Zealand.
Right.
And like that was that double CD, right? Off you, everyone remembers, but they came out with this big, massive double disc. It was like fucking, 2.5 hours worth of music.
I think the next guy that did that was Tupac.
Yeah. So the Pumpkins did that huge double album. And I just remember that song was a big hit. And it just reminds me of just so many like great memories. You know what I mean? Yep, and that's the power of music. Like, that's why I don't really get when I meet someone who's like, hey, I'm not really into music. You know, like I know people are like, whatever. I'll listen to whatever. I don't really care. It's all good.
Everyone's got you have a soundtrack to your life.
Well, you'd think, right? I guess some people, it's just not as important. So I always kind of find it like, huh.
You know what another one is? And this, now I'm going the other direction that just popped in my head. First of the month. Do you know the song, The First of the Month?
Oh.
Boom. Oh, my. Google.
To look
you
it up.
Can do it. Oh, my God. That song pops on the radio at the gym, which my gym plays that kind of shit.
Okay.
I'm like, oh. Old school rap, 90s. Let's do this.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. First of the month. You know. As soon as the players go, oh, okay. Because I know you're not a huge rap guy, but you'll be immediately, oh, yes.
When you say 90s rap, I'm into that. I got my Cypress Hill records, and I had my Dr. Dre, The Chronic when it first came out. Snoop Dogg, Doggy Style.
That's the first album. So you want to laugh. My mother bought me that album in Utah.
Really?
So as we're paying for it, and my mom's my mom, she's a lover. She, the lady behind the counter, I hand it to my mother. I'm young, not even old enough to drive. I hand it to her. She hands the lady. The lady goes, ma'am, this has explicit lyrics. And she goes, yeah, I don't give a shit. And I'm like, and there it is.
She's like, he's already a lost cause.
Have you seen this kid? It's a, this gets him to shut up, I'm going to buy it for him.
He's already got a porn collection.
Lottie Dottie, let's do this. Way too good.
Yes. You know, this is the stuff, I like the idea of making viewers Google. It's like interactive.
I want you guys to do this during, though. Like, listen to it. 1979, maybe pause our show for a minute.
Yeah, pull up Chicago. Chicago's greatest love ballads, dude. That's a good Google.
You probably don't want your friends to see that one, but it's okay. Just don't let them get on your search history. Make sure RedTube comes on again after it.
You don't want them to know what you've been up to.
Yeah, it gets really weird when the order gets all fucked up with Chicago love ballads, but whatever.
Don't judge me.
Don't fucking judge me.
No. Well, that's a good spot to end it, Dusty. Don't judge me.
Story of my life.
No. But it went well. Nick was great. Thanks again to Nick for coming on. I know people are going to love the non-bodybuilding chat at the end because I always get so many messages about that stuff. So let us know what you think. What songs and movies can you not watch or listen to? You have to stop your day.
I think we need to put that up so we can discuss some of these people's shots, you know?
Yeah. It'll be interesting.
Sure, there'll be plenty. I'm like, yes, no.
Yeah, definitely. Okay, Dusty. Thanks for everything, man. Have a good workout today. I know you're training.
Absolutely.
And remember, guys, it's just bodybuilding. I got to start building a deadlift platform tonight. Yeah.
I'm going to see you soon.
Got a new platform going in at West Coast Iron, you know?
Nice, man.
So I got a new drill and everything. It's fucking Tim Taylor over here.
You're going to do it. See, I thought you just meant you were having someone come do it.
No, I'm at this stage in my life where I think, you know, I should be a little handier.
Nice.
You know, just a little bit, right? If I get halfway through and it's not working out, I'll pull out the checkbook like you and I'll just get it done.
I have a screwdriver. Until next time.
See you, Dusty.
See ya.